Alright, we start the new parak on Kufchet and Aleph. In a minute, after we finish the Mishnah, we'll read the Psukim because they're relevant to the Gemara and the way the Gemara is laid out. But for right now, we'll start. There are those that have bidirectional Yerusha, which means they both bequeath right inheritance as well as inherit the inheritance. It's a two-way street. There are those that inherit but do not bequeath. Manchilim, those that bequeath, lo nochlim, but do not inherit. Lo nochlim, velo manchilim. And there are those who are relatives who have, even despite their relationship or familiar relationship, have no monetary connection in terms of bequeathing the inheritance or inheriting the inheritance. Ve'elu nochlim u'manchilim. These are the individuals who have the two-way streets, bidirectional movement of the inheritance. That means they both are manchil, that they bequeath inheritance and they inherit inheritance. And this is av et abanim, v'abanim et av. Right, so this is a father to his sons and sons to the father, meaning that obviously children inherit their father. But the other way around, if chas v'shalom, a child does not have children, then his father, which we'll see in the Gemara, is the first to inherit him, that it moves back up one generation in terms of inheritance. Then, v'achim mina'av, brothers through a father who share a common father, meaning brothers, for instance, like the Bnei Yaakov, right, all the Shvatim. Achim mina'av, nochlin u'manchilim. All of these are nochel u'manchil. It's bidirectional, they go both ways, meaning that they both bequeath inheritance and are able to inherit from each other. Now, ha'ish et imo, va'ish et ishto. Let's start with the first two, is a person from the mother and an individual from his wife. In this instance, right, there is a one-way street, which is that an individual can inherit his mother and an individual will inherit his wife. But the other way will not be true, which we'll see a second in the Mishnah, we'll do the reverse. But the other will not be true, that a mother does not inherit her child, and a wife does not inherit her husband. So this is, again, a one-way street. Now, the next part of the Mishnah, Ubnei Achayot, we'll explain in a second. I'm going to skip it, leave it ambiguous. And then, Nochlim Velo Manchilim. All of these people inherit Velo Manchilim, but they do not bequeath inheritance. What are Bnei Achayot? Bnei Achayot, the Rashbam brings two interpretations as to what the Bnei Achayot are in the wide lines in the Rashbam. The ben nochel et achot imo. A child, right, will inherit the mother's sister. Because just like he inherits his mother, he will also inherit his mother's sister. If his aunt were to pass away in the lifetime of his mother, Yorshata, his mother would inherit her. Gamhu, Yoreshet Imo. And also he will inherit his mother. So therefore he will get the possessions of his mother. Now, why does... What?
That's the only way.
Right. He cannot get it. He will not get it directly from... it passes through his mother. That's how they get it.
Sister inherits her sister?
It's possible that a sister will inherit when there's no other... Right. Access to his sister, his aunt's property is only through his mother.
Right.
It's an extension of his mother. Very good.
And his mother passes away first, and there's no other descendants from this woman.
All right. So that's a good question. The way the Rashbam phrases it is that she has to be alive. The mother has to be alive in order to come through the mother. Otherwise, it'll move back up. It'll move up to her father. If not her father, then it'll move up to the father's brothers. And there's alternatives if his mother's not alive. So I think the need for his mother to be alive is because otherwise, if the Merusha will move, he will not be the closest relative. It'll move in the other direction. All right, v'lo manchilim. Why is it lo manchilim? Shemeta ben eno machilo chotimo. If the son passes away, he doesn't pass the Yerusha. He doesn't bequeath his Yerusha to his aunt. El krovei aviv. It goes to his father, his family. The mishpachat aim ena krovei mishpacha, because the mother's family doesn't have a din of mishpacha. How would his aunt ever inherit him? She only comes because of the sister, Shehimo, Shelzet, is his mother. And we just saw in the Mishnah that the mother never is Yoresh her child. Kedamran. Certainly over here, we'll move in that direction. And now the Rashman qualifies. We're talking about sisters that have a common father. If they are sisters through the mother, there's no relationship in terms of Yerusha that moves from the aunt down to the son over here, because the mishpachat eim hu, it's the mother's family and not the father's family. You need a common father in order to enjoin them for Yerusha. So that's one possibility what these bnei achayot are. Where the other possibility is lishna achrina is bnei achot, right? That they are sons of a sister. What is that? Bnei achoto shel Reuven. They are the children of Reuven's sister, kigon bnei Dina. Right? Dina is Reuven's sister. And Dina's children, Nochlim Oto, they will inherit him. Sherei, Dina, Yoreshet Reuven. Dina's sister will inherit Reuven. Achia, Ubanei Abayim Mikocha. And her children come from her. Avalo Manchilin Reuven. But the nephews do not pass Yerusha back to their uncle Reuven. Sherei Reuven, Mikoach, Achoto Dina, Bat Yoresh Otan. The only reason Reuven will gain anything from his sister, from his sister's children, is because of his sister. And Dina never gets anything from her children, because the children will be subject to the father's family, not to the mother's family. Right? A mother does not inherit her child. Right? It'll be those that are close to the husband of Dina will get the children's Yerusha, because it goes up through the father's family. Now, going back to the Mishnah, the Rashbam is offering you two possibilities in what this is. It's either bnei achayot or bnei achot, right? So either bnei achayot, which could be referring to an aunt, right? It's your the children, it's your nephews, right? But and your aunt, meaning through your mother, through your mother's your aunt. Or if you say bnei achot, then it's really a uncle to nephew relationship through the mother. So those are the two possibilities. It's a aunt relationship to her nephews, or an uncle relationship to the nephews, but both through the mother. Right. It has the same implications, although we'll see in a second why the Rashbam favors one of the interpretations. So now, next, Aisha et Baneha, Vaisha et Bala, a woman to her children, and a woman to her husband. So now if I asked you what those are the opposite of the previous bava of the Mishnah. Before it said that a child inherits the mother. Here it says the mother does not inherit the child. Before it said that a husband inherits his wife. Here it says that the wife does not inherit her husband. Now, v'achiyaim manchilim v'lomon nochlim. And then the brothers of the mother, manchilim, give over Yerusha, right? They bequeath Yerusha v'lomon nochlim, but they do not inherit. So the answer to you, what's the difference? The difference is that the opposite, if these are all opposites, then when it says achi aim, the brother of the mother, right, that would be like the interpretation of the second interpretation of the Rashman. That's why he favors that interpretation. I mean that it's an uncle-nephew relationship through the mother, because the opposite case over here in the Mishnah is mentioned as achi aim, the brother of the mother. So the brother of the mother does not bequeaths in their intention Yerusha, but does not inherit. And that's why the Rashbam says, even though, right, Tutve could be Achot Ayim, but here he favors Ach Ayim because of the reverse. The two bubbles to the Mishnah are hand in hand. They're opposites of each other. Right, now, Achim Min Ayim is the last category. Lo Nochlim Velo Manchilim. Right, brothers through a mother have no relationship, have no familial relationship, and therefore they are both not inheriting each other, and they do not bequeath inheritance to each other. So even though they have familial, they have blood relationship, they have a common mother, nevertheless, they have no relationship in terms of Yerusha. So now, the Gemara wants to know first, Mishna Diktani Ha'av Et Habanim. Why does the Mishnah lead off with the term Ha'av Et Habanim? And then Habanim Et Av. Right, so now, Litnei, why do you serve a Reisha? Litnei Habanim Et Av. Why wouldn't you write the children about that inherit the father, Bereisha first. Why? I'll tell you why. One, Chada det chulei purnata lo matchilinan. Number one, right? If you want to start off with the Mishnah, you don't start off with a bad case. What's the bad case? Is here. What is the suggestion of the Mishnah? Av et habanim. The father inherits his children. What's the case in which a father inherits the children? Is where the children predecease him and they have no children. So that's a case of Purnasa. Why would you start the Mishnah with a case that is a case of Klala? Number one. Right? Number two. Also, why would you, the Ode, why would you skip what is Kedichtiv? What is obvious in the Psukim? What's written in the Psukim is Ish Kiyamut Ubeinendo. Right? That a person who passes away, Ubeinendo, and has no child, then the Yerusha passes to the Bat. What do we learn from that? If there is a Ben, who's in first in line to get Yerusha? The child. So if that's the case, right? Why wouldn't you make that first? Meaning that that's the drashim in a pasuk. The first in line for inheritance, the first person mentioned in the pasuk is the ben, right, is the child. So if I was to give you two reasons to start the Mishnah off that a child inherits his father, one is that's the normal way of Yerusha, and number two is that's what we darsh from the pasuk. That's the order in the pasuk. That's the first thing that comes out of the pasuk. So Gemara says no. The answer is, Batana, Aidi de Achele Midrasha Chavivale. That the Tana, because he learned it out from a drasha, liked that better. What does he mean learn from a drasha? That the father inherits the child is learned from a drasha. Since that's learned out from a drasha, he gave that precedence in the Mishnah, and he put that first in the Mishnah. Now, how is a father learned from a child? So this was where I sent out the psukim, said you would have them ahead of time. I'll send them again today. But here is the psukim. The psukim that are found in Bamidbar, Perk Chav Zayin. Right, this is follows up the Pasha Benot Zafchad, who come and say, listen, we have, our father passed away, he has no sons, what's going to happen to his Yerusha? And afterwards, Moshe brings the whole Pasha of Yerusha. It's only a couple of psukim, it's five, six psukim. And this is the Pasha. Vayom Hashem Moshe Limor. Came Benot Zafchad Dovrot. So that's good. This is what you should tell Bnei Israel. Ish kiyamut. Person who passes away, uveinein lo. So that's our case over here. Which is exactly the case of Benot Zafchad. If a parent has children but no son, then the Yerusha will go to the Bat. The implication is that if he does have a son, who gets the Yerusha? The son. So far, the psukim lay out that the son is the first yoresh. Next yoresh is the daughter. Then, ve'imein lo bat, if he does not have a daughter, unetatem menachlato le'achav. Then the Yerusha goes to his brothers. Brothers through the father. Right, we'll learn that out. That mishpachat ab nikra mishpacha v'lo'aim. So now, if there is no children, the next person to inherit is the brothers. Ve'imein lo achim. And if he has no brothers, then if he has no brothers, then the Yerusha will pass to his uncles, to his father's brothers. Ah, exactly. Where is his father in this? Right, so, if there are no brothers to his father, goes to the closest relative. Gemara is about to darshan that the word l'sheiro is his father. That's the closest relative. So the father's mentioned last. So if I go in the order of psukim, you have son, daughter, brothers, uncles, and then father. Now it's clear that father is out of order. Why? Because as you pointed out, how could it be that the uncles inherit before the father? I mean, that the only reason the uncles have any access to this Yerusha is because of the father. So if that's the case, father must be out of order. Right? So now, if father is out of order, where is it out of order? I mean, we know at least it's out of order that it has to come before Achei Aviv. But it's a possibility it comes before Achiv, it's a possibility it comes before Ben. Where does this, if you had the Pasuk that's out of order already, where are you going to place it within the line of Yerusha? Where is the father in terms of line of Yerusha? Is it simply it goes brothers, father, and then uncles? Right? Which would be the easiest way to explain it. Or maybe there's it goes, first of all, father, then son. Right? Or does it go son, father, brothers? What's the order? Where does father fit in? And that's what the Gemara is talking about, the drasha here. That's exactly the drasha that we're going to look at. So now, my drasha. What's the drasha? The Tanya. We have a brace that says, Sheiro Zehav. That's what we just read in the Pasuk. The last Pasuk is the Sheiro, his closest relative. That is the father, Melmeid. Sha'av Kodim Lachim. So we see that the father comes before the brothers. Meaning that the father has precedence over his brothers. So now, Yachol Yehei Kodim Leben. I would think he also comes before the son. Meaning that there's a possibility you can move Sheiro Karov Elav to the first person to inherit. If that's the case, the father would precede the son over here. Tamad Omar Hakarov. Right, so the pasuk says L'sheiro Hakarov Elav. Hakarov Karov Kodem. The closest relative goes first. Now, the Gemara never explains why that is, who is the closest relative, but it's obvious that a child is a closer relative than a father. Right? There's no question that a child is a closer relative than a father. Why? Because a child, we're going to see in a second, a child can step into his father's shoes. In many instances, the son can take over for the father. The father never steps into the son's shoes. So what the Rashbam claims over here is that's a davar pashut. It's a davar pashut that they don't have to mention this. And that's what he says. Gemara never has to ask, why would you put the son in front of the father? That is completely obvious why the son precedes the father in terms of inheritance. So you have here Yaakov, Reuven, and Yitzchak. It's clear that Reuven will inherit Yaakov before his father Yitzchak. Because Reuven could step into the shoes of his father Yaakov, whereas Yitzchak has no right halachic ability to step into the shoes of his son. Now the Gemara is going to ask another question. Now, right. So wait a minute. Your basic assumption right here is that now this is the order of inheritance: son, father, brothers. Now, why did you assume that the father precedes the brothers? Where is it? Why is it that the father should take precedence over the brothers? Tosfos discusses over here that the Rivam wants to suggest that that's the whole question. Right, Pesh Rivam, that Yehi Kodom the Ben Velo Lach. That you have a choice now. The father, right, has to go before someone. We know that the Psukim are out of order and the father has to go before someone. So why did you place the father before the brothers and not before the son? I mean, why are you placing the father between the son and the brothers? That's the way the Rivam formulates the question. The Rashbam does not like the interpretation. Tosfos himself does not like that way. The Rashbam, on the other hand, explains that it's really a derivative question over here. If we're going to say that the son takes precedence over the father, and the father comes before the brothers, then by implication we are saying that the son comes before the brothers. So the Gemara wants to test that, or test that possibility. Is it really true that the son should come before the brothers? Maybe the brother should take precedence over the son. Now you'll say to me, wait, the psukim are clear. Psukim say first that the son inherits, and then afterwards the achim. So the Rashbam points out that we already know that the psukim are not in order. Because since we know the father's out of order, so maybe the son and the brothers are also out of order. Once we know the parsha's out of order, then we have to open up all possibilities of order over here. So now, yes, we've established that son must come before father. But where are the brothers in that category? Where do the brothers fit in? So now the Gemara is going to show us that the son should take precedence over the brothers, meaning that the children of Yaakov, Reuven and Shimon, should take precedence over Esav, Yaakov's brother. So now the Gemara says, I'll explain to you, Mara ita rabot de ben al tziyat ach, merabert ani ita ben, I include the ben, shekin kam tachar aviv li ada, ulste achuza. A son can fill into his father's shoes in two places. One is Yehud. What's Yehud? Yehud is when his father purchases an amah ivriyah. Father purchases an amah ivriyah, has a number of choices of what to do with her. One is to keep her as a amah ivriyah, to have her work for him. Number two is to free her. And number three is to be mekadesh her, to take her as a wife, to accept the money that he paid to purchase this amah ivriyah can be in place of kesef kiddushim. Now, where the son has that right also, which is that the son can take this amah ivriyah as a wife and use the kesef kiddushim, use the money that was paid for the amah ivriyah, could be a good kiddushin for the son. Yes, I mean, we had this machlokas in the Gemara about in kiddushin, about whether it's the kesef kiddushin is the hana that he frees her with at that moment in time, or is it from the original kesef kiddushin. I don't want to get so deep into this, but either way, the son has the right to be mekadesh this amah ivriyah over here, ayidei the money that his father paid. Right. So because of that, we see that he steps in. Now, steachuza. What's a steachuza? Steachuza is that if a person takes his yerusha and he's makdishit to hekdesh, if hekdesh then goes ahead and he does not redeem it from hekdesh and hekdesh sells it to a third party, then what happens when the yovel comes? The property will go to the kohanim and will not return to its original owner. That's only true if the third party who buys it is not his son. If his son purchases it, it goes back to the father by yovel. Why? Because he's not considered an acher. It says, if im acher, right? If a third party goes ahead and redeems it, then it goes to the Kohanim b'di Yovel. His son is not considered a third party. Why is his son not considered a third party? Because he will eventually get the property. It says Yerusha. So he's not considered a third party over here. Therefore, if he redeems it, it's as if the father redeemed it. And it will not be Yotzei, the Kohanim b'di Yovel, but rather go back to the father b'di Yovel. So we see...
But it goes both ways. If the
It's a one-way street.
Reuben passes away.
It's a one-way street there. The son can step into the shoes of the father. The father cannot do this for the son. For instance, if a son purchases an Amar Via, his father cannot take her condition. Right. If it comes to Stei Achuzah, the father redeems it. That's not classified as not being a third party. He is a third party. So I'm saying these Zuchuyot only move in one direction. So that's why, again, it's simple to the Gemara that a ben will precede the av. That's not a question. The only question now is between a son and a brother, who takes precedence? Now, between a son and a brother who takes precedence will also affect where the father fits in the picture. So now, the Gemara is moving through stages, even though some of these are obvious stages. The first one is son and father. So there, the Gemara says son takes precedence over father. No question. Number two, now we have sons and brothers. Why do sons take precedence over brothers? So the Gemara says it's obvious. A son can step into his father's shoes when it comes to being Ya'ed in Amar Via and Stei Achuzah. So Gemara says, Adrabah, Marveh ani et ha'ach, shekin kam tachar aviv liyubu. Says, wait a minute. A brother can step into the shoes of his brother when it comes to Yibum. The son can't do that. So now we have the brother stepping into the quote-unquote father's shoes. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Klum. Right. Yesh Yibum, elav ha'makum she'en ben. Wait a minute. The pivotal decider about whether there is Yibum or not is whether there's a son or not. The only reason that the father's brother will have to perform Yibum is if there is no son. I mean that the son is the linchpin in deciding whether there is Yibum or not. Habu Malkum Sheish Ben, if there is a child, in Yibum. So now, if that's the case, if the son is the linchpin, that the son is the decisive factor in whether there's Yibum or not Yibum. So true, the brother can step into the shoes of his brother. Yaakov. Right, Yaakov's children, Reuven and Shimon, take precedence over his brother Esav. Right, Esav should be the one with the Gemara is suggesting over takes precedence over here. Why? Because Esav would perform Yibum. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Esav's right to Yibum only exists if Reuven and Shimon aren't around. Right, if Reuven and Shimon are there, there is no Yibum. So again, the son is the pivot or the linchpin. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Tama deika hypercha. That's your solution. The solution is that the Yibum of the brother only exists without the son. So therefore the son takes precedence. Had it not been that, right, we would have said that in Ochanami the brother takes precedence. But hey, if it was not for that, Havamina Achadif, the brother should take precedence. Typically, why don't you learn the Ocha Tarte V'Ocha Chado? Wait a minute. When it came to the son steps into the father's shoes. Reuven can step into his father Yaakov's shoes by Yehud. By Namar Ivriya, and Stei Achuzah, that's two places. The brother only steps into his father's shoe in one place. Where's that one place? Yibum. Two against one, the son should take precedence over here. Right? Tzvahocha Achado. So Gemara says, Stei Achuzah Gufa Mehai Taima. Wait a minute. No, the Gemara says, wait a minute. Stei Achuzah is only learnt out from the same reason. Who? The Kakaimale, the Tana. Right? The only reason that we say Stei Achuzah is given to the, or that the son is classified as the closest relative, or not classified as an acher, is for this whole reason here. What is that? The Tanakh, Kalum Yeshibum, El Makum Shein Ben. Ayesh Ben, Ein Yibum. The Gemara has the same question by property. When it comes to Stei Achuzah, who's classified as a third party, who's classified as a relative? So there the Gemara says, oh, is it the son who's classified as the closest relative? Or is it the brother who's going to inherit? If he does Yibum, he'll take the property. Is he the closest relative? You know what the Gemara's answer there in Kiddushin is? Whereas answer to his condition, klum yeshibum b'makom ben. That's the whole reason. The reason that Stei Achuzah, that the son is the one who gets Stei Achuzah, or not the one who is able to make it not be a third party by Stei Achuzah, is because of the same logic of Yibum. So that narrows us down to one and one. The son has Yehud, which he takes precedence over any other party there, and Yibum. So it's one and one. If it's one and one, then you need another logic to differentiate between. What's that logic? That's the logic which told us by Stei Achuzah. It's the logic that also takes us by Yerusha. The Klum Yeshibum B'makom Abed. So because of that, the precedence of the son really comes from this logical argument and for no other argument. Because if we didn't have this argument, we'd have a tie. It would be a tie. The tie would be that Yibum, right, is the brother's precedence, meaning that Esav over here has rights to Yaakov, one right to Yaakov, as Miyabeim. And Reuven, his son, has one right, which is the zchut of being mi'a'ed, the Ama Ivriya, which is a right that's given to the son and no one else. So basically, what we learn out, that the rights of the son, or everywhere else we learn out, is the rights of the son to replace the father come from Yehud. And Yehud, right, together, with the principle of klum yeshu mirbum b'makom ben gives the ben precedence in all these other cases. Whenever I come to a challenge between son and brother, right, the son takes precedence because of this. That happens by shtei akuzah, that happens by Yerusha, that Reuven and Shimon will take precedence over Esav because of this logic and Yehud. So the two of them together give that right. So now, what we have so far, right, in terms of inheritance, is that we have ben b'fnei av, right, the father comes before, the son becomes before the father. That means Reuven and Shimon will inherit Yaakov before Yitzchak. Then we also know that ben comes before achim, that the sons come before the brothers, meaning that Reuven and Shimon will be preceding Esav when it comes to inheriting Yaakov. What we still don't know is where the father fits in, right, in this picture, and that will be the next part of the Gemara. We'll discuss where exactly the father fits into this picture in terms of a daughter and all sorts of things like that, meaning that how do we fit the father into the picture? Okay, we'll stop over here.